Hello, and thank you for tuning into Inside Education on 103.2 Dublin City FM. Each week, Inside Education brings you the best from the world of education with an Irish perspective. My name is Sean Delaney, and you can listen to or download hundreds of podcasts of previous editions of Inside Education from seandelaney.com/podcasts. On this week's programme, my guest is an educator from Romania who works in a university in Barcelona and who earlier this year spent time at Trinity College in Dublin. Georgetta Ian is a lecturer in the Department of Applied Pedagogy at the Autonomous University of Barcelona. Her research interests are in the organisation and management of higher education and in gender studies. But when I met up with Georgetta, my first interest was in finding out some more about the education system in her native Romania, a country which today has a population of 20 million people. Georgetta began by outlining for us the structure of schooling in Romania.
The Romanian educational system is structured in different stages. The first stage is kindergarten, which is not mandatory except the last year, which is directly linked to the primary education.
What age do children start kindergarten at?
Three years old.
But it's not mandatory until five, is it?
Until six, almost six. So at 6 years, they have to start the last year of kindergarten, which is compulsory, and it's a condition to access the primary school. And the primary school, it's 4 year long. And then there is secondary school, which is called gymnasium. Then the high school, which is liceo, also 4 years each. And then there are different options. Professional schools, if they want to access directly the labor market and to form them about in professions, specific professions, or to go to the university, which is 3 years, duration is the 3 years, or four, depending on the universities. And master are between 1 and 2 years long, and then the PhD studies, which is 3 years.
So it sounds quite short to say that there are 4 years in primary school, but I presume that the high school is kind of like a middle school almost, and then the liceo is kind of closer to our idea of post-primary.
Yes, normally in the primary school there is only a teacher. A teacher is teaching all the disciplines except foreign languages. So students in primary school, they start studying English, for example, or French, a secondary language, and there are specific teachers for that. In the secondary school, during 4 years, there are teachers for each one of the disciplines. And also in the high school, in liceo, there are also teachers specifically for each one of the disciplines. So during the primary education, there is only teacher with kids teaching maths, sciences, geography, history, arts, sports, civic education, and so on.
The generalist teacher then is really only teaching the children for 4 years after kindergarten.
Exactly.
Because that has implications then for how teachers are prepared. So how are teachers prepared for the different levels of the system?
The teachers are prepared during the teacher education school during 3 years. They are prepared in general psychopedagogical disciplines and also in specific disciplines. And this is happening also with teachers in kindergarten, in early early childhood. So there are two different lines when you study, for example, teacher education.
And what about then for post-primary? Is that different, or for secondary?
Yeah, for secondary school it's different, because as a student you have to enroll in a specific school of geography, for example, or languages, or history. And you have two options. The first option is, if you want, for example, to teach in the future, you have to enroll in a module specifically from the psychopedagogical disciplines. So during the 3 years, there are optional subjects related to the pedagogy, psychology, and philosophy, civic education, and so on. The second option is, if you are not decided to become a teacher in the future, so you are thinking that you are going to be geographer or philosopher. So then, once the studies are finished, there is another option as a form of continuous education. So they can enroll in a 2 years program. It's a modular program. It's delivered by the Faculty of Psychology and Educational Sciences, and it's a kind of postgraduate studies. When there is an intensive program in psychopedagogical disciplines and also in teaching specific disciplines according to their background.
And the teachers at kindergarten level, are they paid by the government?
Yes, everybody is paid by the government. The education in Romania is free. I mean, from the kindergarten to higher education, to the university, all the system is public. And if I'm not wrong, only or less than 2% are private schools or private kindergarten. Normally there are public kindergarten, but it's true that sometimes there are no enough places for all the kids. So some of the parents decided to enroll them in private system. But it's not something which is usual.
And would most children go to kindergarten for the entire 3 years?
Yes, most of them.
Yeah.
Even before. I mean, even before the 3 years. In Romania, the maternity leave is 2 years long. So normally mothers decide to stay with their children or fathers, mother and fathers, decide to share or one of them to stay with their children during first 2 years, and then they are going to kindergarten. Okay. But it's not mandatory, I mean, except the last year.
And what are the subjects that are taught in primary school?
Well, the usual one, maths, languages.
What languages?
Languages, for example, Romanian as mother tongue, but also because there are minorities in Romania, they are studying their mother tongue in German, Hungarian, Russian, or it depends on the geographical area where they are concentrated. So the mother tongue and then Romanian, of course, communication skills, geography, history, sports, arts, and foreign languages.
Science?
Science also, yes, of course.
And music?
Yes, during the primary school they are studying music and painting.
Visual arts. And drama?
Not too much, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe as optional subject. I should say that 25% of the entire curriculum is optional and 75% is mandatory. It's decided by the national regulation, let's say, by the Ministry of Education. And then each school has the possibility to decide in 25% of the optional discipline they have according with their needs, interest, geographical area, and so on. But the system is quite centralized, and everything is decided from the central government, I mean from the Ministry of Education.
And what would a typical school day be like in terms of the timetable? So what times do schools open? What times do they close? What kind of breaks do children have?
The primary school, usually the kids are going in the morning at 8 o'clock. They start usually at 8 o'clock and they finish more or less at 12. They have between 4 and 5 hours per day with very short break in between. Very short means 10 minutes break, 15 minutes break. So they are usually going home at 12 or at 1 o'clock. And they spend their afternoon in other kind of activities, in families, at home, or doing other educational activity after school.
And how popular are extracurricular activities? Like, do they play music? Do they play sports? Do they do things like that after school?
Yes. Usually they... during the first years, almost all the kids are studying music, instruments, playing different instruments. sports, it's quite usual also.
And they get a lot of homework.
Yes, also, yes. Despite that, in the first 2 years of primary school, a teacher cannot give them homeworks. I mean, everything should be done at school, but most of them, they do that.
If I went into a primary school, what would I notice? What are class sizes like? How many teachers are in schools? Can you tell a little bit about that?
They are mainly between 20-25 students per group. All of them are depending on the Ministry of Education. And in each city, there are school inspections, which are a kind of supervision and evaluation bodies. And also the teachers are appointed by the local administration. They are paid by the local administration, but they are appointed by the school inspection.
Are teachers well paid in Romania?
All of them are bad paid.
Badly paid?
Yes.
So what would the pay level be for a beginning teacher in Romania?
At the beginning, they are very badly paid. I mean, could be a salary between 200 and 250 euros per month.
How does that compare to other salaries? Who would earn similar amounts of money in Romania?
Unfortunately, the professional in the health system. So education and health are two poor sisters of the Romanian economy.
So what would be a prestigious job then to choose in Romania?
There is a prestigious job. This is a paradox. Because being a teacher in Romania is quite a prestigious job, as well as being a doctor. But it's not depending on the salary, as you can imagine.
And does a doctor get paid much more?
Not much more at the beginning. Also, a teacher, they have to follow different stages during their career. So depending on each one of the stages, their salaries increase. And at the end, they could have, 600, 400, 800 euros per month. It's depending on the year they have in the schools, their level of professional career, where they are. But at the beginning, they are very, very bad.
And is there a difference between the pay for primary and post-primary teachers?
There are not many differences between these two levels, but yes, they are slightly higher salaries in secondary schools, but very, very slightly.
And what's the curriculum like in secondary school? What do students attending secondary school study?
Now the curriculum was organized in different areas, so there is not disciplinary based. But the curriculum is trying to be interconnected and interdisciplinary. There are interdisciplinary areas. There is an area of languages and communication. There is the area of science with maths, physics, chemistry, and so on. There is the area of natural sciences, geography, other subjects. Could be sustainable development, history, and also arts and sports. So these are the main curriculum areas.
And is there an exam at the end of secondary education?
Yes, there is an exam. It's baccalaureate. There is an exam and there are some mandatory subjects, and also there are some optional subjects.
And is that a state-run exam, or
yes,
is it?
Yes, there is a state. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And does that qualify you for entry
to the
third level, to university?
To the university, yeah. Okay. So the access to the university is depending mainly on each university, because each university has full autonomy to decide what kind of system they choose in order to select future students. They can consider this exam, baccalaureate. It's a part of the final results, final mark.
For entry
to the university.
Are primary teachers mostly women or mostly men?
They are mostly women. Yes.
Okay. About what percentage would be men?
Men, less than 2%.
And what about at secondary school?
It's slightly higher, I think. I mean, could be 30%, 40% maybe.
About a third.
Yes.
Okay. Why is teaching so prestigious, given that the pay is so poor?
It's based on intellectual status, maybe, not in in economic status. Because traditionally, it was a profession with very high prestige. It's associated to the cultural capital, with intellectual capital. Maybe that's the answer.
And are schools well-resourced? Is there a lot of equipment in schools? Are they bright, warm, comfortable, or what
are
they like?
Yes, the schools are, I find, they improve very much in the last years. Maybe there are some differences between the schools in the urban areas and in rural areas. So the schools in urban areas are okay, are well organized, and they have all they need, sports abilities, laboratories, internet, and so on. But sometimes the problem is in rural area. And I remember that in the last year there were several programs run by the Ministry of Education trying to improve the conditions in schools from rural area, especially because the population has decreased very much in the
decreased
in rural area for immigration reasons or for economic reasons. They move to another country or they move to another city. That's why the school population in some places, it's very low, and the schools are not very well equipped. But I think the situation is changing in the last 2 or 3 years with some specific programs run by the Ministry of Education.
Do children wear school uniforms?
In primary school, yes, there is a national uniform. I mean, all the pupils, they have to wear the same, but not in secondary school and not in childhood education.
And do children enjoy going to school in Romania?
According to the last PISA report, in the graph explaining the motivation of different national system, well, the pupils from different countries, Romania was totally out of the graph, which means that the motivation is very low. And I remember that 2 or 3 years ago there were inquiries about this, why is this happening, what happens in the schools, why the students are very unhappy with the schools, and there is no answer, so I have no answer to that. But there are several programs trying to improve the school motivation. Well, it's just an intuition, if you want. But I imagine because the educational system, especially in primary education, in secondary education, maybe not so much in higher in high school, it's still very traditional. And the school is still disconnected with the society, with what is happening in the student's life outside the school. And the teachers are, actually the teacher's training, it's a critical aspect in the Romanian system forever. I mean, not only in the last years, but there is no a national and coherent training system for teachers, both in initial training, but especially in permanent continuous training, in service training, which means that the teachers are not connected with the students' real life. I mean, the society has changed very much in the last years, especially after 89, the change of the political regime and so on. And the school doesn't change.
That was Ceausescu.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, so sometimes teachers and also politicians in educational system, they said that the school it still remain in the past, but the society changed very fast in the last years, especially now. So the students, they have all the new technology. They are very updated. They are connected to the internet all the time. But at the school, they are still using the same traditional methods.
Do teachers give homework in Romania?
A lot of homeworks. I think this hasn't changed much since I was studying there. But yes, they are overloading with work students. And this could be another reason for the lack of motivation the students have. Yes, they have to work very much inside and outside the school.
And what languages are spoken in Romania?
The main language is Romanian, which is a Latin roots language. But also there are other official languages in some parts of Romania because the ethnical population. As for example, Hungary, it's also speak, especially in Transylvania, and German, another specific region in Transylvania. Yes, these two languages are also language which could be studied in schools.
That's what I was going to ask you. Yes, so every child would study Romanian.
Every child, they have to study Romanian.
And what would a second language then typically be? Italian,
French,
or German?
French and English, especially English in the last years.
Yes. Your doctorate was about organizational culture and leadership,
yes,
and ethnographic study.
Yes.
What exactly did you look at?
Well, I was exactly looking on how different functions of the university teachers are combined in order to generate coherent organizational culture. I was interested in that because in Romania, the school of education was traditionally based on pedagogy, and that's it. I mean, very theoretical. And since 2003, there was a mixture with the school of teachers who became part of the... And there were two different cultures, I mean academic cultures, organizational culture even. There were people working in the same place but sharing different values.
So these were people who had come from the normal schools and
exactly.
People who had been in the university
exactly.
All the time.
Exactly. So this was happening in Spain also. I mean, in the department where I studied my PhD, they were facing the same problems with some advantage of some years more. But they were dealing with the same problems on how to make people from different contexts, different educational levels maybe, with a different perspective about education and different educational paradigms. How to make them to collaborate and how this process could be led by somebody who has to lead this process of get to culture in...
And what did you find?
Interesting things that they have a 10-year experience in that, trying to do that. But
this is in Romania now or in Spain?
No, in Spain. My thesis was... it was this ethnographical
Catalonia.
Study in the University of Barcelona, in the School of Education there. And we saw that there, after 10 years, they are still have two different cultures, two different values, two different history. Why not? Because this history, it's confirming the values they have. And despite that they are working together, actually they are sharing different values, and it's very difficult to put people with different expectation and motivation to work together for the a common mission.
And did you find anything that could help blend the two cultures?
They have a lot of potential together. And they were very able to work together in mixed group. Actually, they were implementing a new a different kind of leadership, and this is one of the things that I think contributed very much to put these two parts together. It was the structure, the leader, in the head of the department in that moment, create a kind of structure based on different commissions. They called it commission. Actually, was working groups. Putting together people from the former School of Teacher Education and Faculty of Pedagogy, working together and to create the organizational project together from the basis. I mean, he didn't come with project, managerial project, from top to bottom.
So it's bottom up, exactly.
Okay. So all these people was put in the same place and the same time, with the same project in mind, in order to create their own organizational culture, in fact. Well, despite that, we are talking about a long-term project. In this case, building a new organizational culture is not very easy sometimes.
And finally, Georgetta, why are you in Ireland?
Well, apart to escape of the hot temperature in Barcelona, yes, I'm working with a CAVE research group. We are...
That's in Trinity College.
Yes, in Trinity College. We were carrying out in the last years two similar projects, trying to analyze the lives of researchers. In the case of CAVE, they studied the postdocs researchers' lives. And in case of Spain, we try to analyze how academics in university, postdocs and not only postdocs, are dealing with change in the model of the university governance. So we try to put together both contexts and try to analyze the similarities, but also the differences between the perception postdoctoral researchers have on about their professional development and their professional lives.
And that was Dr. Georgetta Ian illustrating how common research questions can be addressed by collaboration among researchers across Europe. Remember, you can listen to or download podcasts of this and all previous Inside Education programmes on insideed.com. You can get in touch with me by emailing feedback or suggestions to insideeducation@dublincityfm.ie. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.